You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Walao eh!
Regular sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
Up next, we have an interview that I am super excited to share with you. This artist that we interviewed today is by far one of the loveliest guests that we've had here on Walao. She introduces herself in her own words in this interview, but Sabrine is a 22-year-old singer-songwriter of Bangladeshi origin from right here in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Last Friday, she dropped a single on all streaming platforms called Countryman, which was based on the story of Zhou Kumlung, a Chinese man who came to Aotearoa in the early 20th century, whose life was unjustly taken away from him when he was murdered by a white supremacist. Countryman tells the story of Zhou Kumlung, his story and death, and it's quite an important song because most of the coverage about Zhou Kumlung and his story doesn't actually center on him. It actually gives more of a platform to his murderer, who we are not going to name on the show tonight. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking about this song because Sabrine explains it beautifully in her own words, much better than I'm doing right now. Anyway, here's that interview. Hope you guys enjoy. So, Sabrine, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
If I'm correct, the last time you were here at BFM was a year ago when you were on Fancy New Band.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that was around the time you dropped your debut EP as well.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be back here at BFM?
It feels nice, but I feel very different from when I last came, because that was before I had dropped my first EP and a lot of changes have happened, but it feels good to be back because I love everyone here.
Right. So do you feel like you've changed as an artist since then as well?
Yeah, quite a lot. I feel like I've grown from like a baby artist to like a slightly older one.
All right, yeah. So to officially start things off, tell us about yourself. Who is the artist known as Sabrine?
Well, I'm a Bangladeshi New Zealand artist. I mainly make sort of indie pop and folk music. I've been writing music since I was 10 and have been releasing it for a few years. And I just really love storytelling. I love all sorts of stories. I also write poetry and stories as well, like narrative ones. And so I've been sort of doing music alongside my law degree because I like to keep myself busy and drained, apparently. But yeah, that's me.
Sabrine, last Friday, you released a single called Countryman, which was accompanied by a beautiful cinematic music video. Can you tell us about the song that you just released and the story behind it?
Of course. Countryman is, well, I wrote it years ago now in 2021. Actually, one of my sociology classes, I learned about the story of Zhou Kumlung, who was a Chinese gold miner who came to New Zealand in the 1890s. And after a mining accident left him unable to work anymore, he moved to Wellington, which was the center of the Chinese community at the time. And he was around 67. He was an elderly man. And on the 24th of September 1905, he was killed by a white supremacist, quite a notorious one. And it really broke my heart when I first heard a story that no one really knew about it. I had never heard of it. And there was a really long history of anti-Asian hatred in New Zealand, particularly like not even just like societally, but like legally as well. There was legal discrimination against Asian New Zealanders. And that broke my heart because I'm an Asian New Zealander. My parents were immigrants here. So I wrote this song kind of as a way to tell Joe's story, but also a way to tell a wider Asian immigrant story, including the stories of my own parents, as well as the other Chinese men like Joe who were killed in a similar way or treated really badly. And I wanted to write it not just to talk about his death, but also his life, because, you know, he's more than his death and we all are. And I wanted to humanize him and help people remember him.
Throughout the process of writing the song, you also worked with the New Zealand Chinese Association and Lynette Shum, who's a specialist in the history of New Zealand's Chinese community. Can you tell us about what it was like working with them and how they brought the song to life?
Yeah, totally. I had been told by someone who I'd gone to for advice to consult the New Zealand Chinese Association, which was a really good idea. My main intention was to see if Joe had any descendants, because if he did, I would want to get their blessing. But it ended up he doesn't. But I had a really lovely interaction with them, and they gave me a lot of guidance. And it was incredibly special to get to talk to Lynette, because she has done most of the work to remember Jo. She was in charge of creating the memorial that's on Haining Street in Wellington. And it was just, it was very special. It felt like a very intersectional kind of dialogue. And she also told me about more people like Jo. Like there was another man called Wong Wei Zheng, who was killed in 1914, who actually does have descendants. And it turns out his descendant is my boyfriend's neighbor. So there was like a lot of really beautiful interactions there. And I'm really lucky to have gotten their guidance on releasing the song. And it feels like it's something bigger than just a song.
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but what was it about Jo Kum Yung's story that resonated with you?
There were a few things. I mean, like I said before, my own parents were Asian immigrants to this country. And I've heard them talk about, like, you know, the initial loneliness and the struggle and how hard it is to make a new life in a new country, especially a country like New Zealand, which is just so culturally opposed to where they came from. And it just got me thinking about Jo, and this was so long ago, you know, it was before things like the internet and even like letters, like sending those were really hard. And so I just pictured Jo kind of like my dad. And for them back then, like they were completely cut off from their families and they had to make their own communities here, which must have been really isolating. But he lived his whole life here. And something that really struck me about his story was he had the option to go back to China, but he chose to stay here. And so that really spoke to me as, you know, he chose New Zealand as his home. And so that really touched me.
One thing I really like about the song is that, well, a lot of the discourse about Jo Kum Yung's killing was centered around his murderer, Lionel Terry, more than him. And we don't really have a lot of information on Jo Kum Yung. And your song kind of, you know, sheds light on who he was as a person, because there's not a lot of, like, information or, you know, art that was, you know, written about him. Is that something that you were also aiming to do with your song?
Yeah, 100%. Because it really struck me during my research that Jo had become a footnote in his own story. Because when you Google Jo and his story, most of what comes up is about his killer, which does not sit right with me at all and doesn't sit right with the New Zealand Chinese Association or the Chinese community or anyone, because that's not the way it should be. We don't even have a photograph of Jo, and yet we have a wealth of information and even public sympathy for the man who killed him. And so with the song, I really did want to try and fix that balance.
Can you tell us about your background and how that's led to your musical journey?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'm from Bangladesh. I come from a very musical culture. My dad in particular was the one who really introduced us to music. And so I have a lot of my musical influences, and the way that I tell stories and write songs is from my dad. And so that's really led to the music that I write, because I love writing people's stories, sometimes more than my own. I feel like my own life is kind of boring. And so I like to write songs about other people and get into their heads and things. And a lot of that is from the empathy that I learned from my parents.
Does Bengali music still influence the songs that you write today?
Yeah, 100%. I really want to learn more about it because I don't know as much as I want to know. But it really does influence the structure and the storytelling and the melodic sort of flow. I've molded my voice kind of to sound the traditional, like, Bengali way as much as I can without formal training. I'd love to learn to sing traditionally one day. But yes, it has a huge influence.
Have you faced any challenges as a South Asian or Bengali musician, you know, either getting started or working in the music scene here in Aotearoa?
Yeah, I have. And nothing like outright bad. No one in the music industry is like mean or nasty. It's more of a sort of almost an imposter syndrome type thing that I feel, because you look around in these industries and no one looks like you, and no one has the last name that you have, and or the associations that people immediately perceive when they look at you. A lot of musicians that are my contemporaries are sort of free from that baggage. And so that was something I really struggled with, especially at the start of my career. And I didn't know, like, I wanted to get rid of those things, but I've slowly come to realize that those differences are actually strengths. And that's something that I really poured into Countryman, like with 100% like earnestness. And so it has been a challenge, but I feel like now I'm starting to see that authenticity is something that's really rewarded. And so I'm just going down that vein and try not to listen to anything else.
So going back to Countryman, you spent a long time working on this song, if I'm correct. Can you tell us about the process you went through writing this song and bringing it to life, essentially?
Yeah, so when I wrote the song, it was we were in lockdown, and I had just finished my online class where I had learned about his story, and I cried. I don't know if it was just because, like, it was lockdown and, you know, people were really isolated from each other, but it really hit me very hard, and I sat on the floor, and this song came out in about 20 minutes. It was one of my favorite songs that I had written, but I had no idea, like, if I could, like, bring it to life in that way. So I sat on it for ages, and then last year I took it to my friend Nate to produce, and this was the first song we had produced together. I took a really heavy song for us to start with, but he did a great job, and we were both really determined to get it right, and so we brought on so many instrumentalists, and it was such a joy, because with every person we brought on to work on this, they also learned about Joe's story for the first time, and then they also, like, felt really passionate about this project. And so it's ended up being this beautiful collaborative effort of so many different New Zealanders from different backgrounds, which has been really beautiful.
That's actually the next thing I wanted to talk about. The song is accompanied by this, like, really beautiful, you know, music video that helps shed light on, you know, the story of Joe Kumyung. How did you conceptualize the music video, and what was it like working on it with Daryl Wong?
The music video was so fun. I've never made, like, a professional music video before, and it was only possible because of the funding that I received from New Zealand On Air. I didn't know what I really wanted for this music video because the song has a story, but I didn't want to show that story, like, you know, line to line. I knew I wanted something where I was going into the past, but it was actually Daryl and Leia, my director, it was their idea to actually include Joe in the video and have it so that there's sort of a time jumping thing, and working with them was so fun. They are such a well-oiled, like, production machine, and they are such kind people, and Daryl has such a brilliant eye, and it was really nice to, there were, like, certain things in the video which he had a lot of input in, like how the Chinese way of making tea is, like, and what Joe should be writing, like the calligraphy and things like that. So it was wonderful. And the shoot day was one that I will never forget. It was, like, the perfect day, and I'm really proud of how it turned out.
Can you tell us about, like, where you shot the music video and the significance of the setting in that regard?
We shot it at Howick Historical Village, which was really nice. And it was a very immersive environment to film it in, because it's not just, like, one set. You're in a village that all looks like it's from the 1900s. So that was really nice, and they were really accommodating. And then when Kevin, the actor of Joe, and I put on our costumes and everything, it did feel like we were, like, back in time. And it was really nice. And the setting, it's a general store, which aligns with the lyrics in the song, where I talk about Joe as if he owned a store, even though I did fictionalize that part when I wrote the song because I didn't know much about his life. But getting to act out those lyrics in an actual general store setting was so creatively fulfilling.
So now, as we're coming towards the end of the interview, I'd like to shift the focus back to you as an artist, ask some general questions. So how did you begin your journey as a musician, and, you know, how did you start songwriting?
I started it like most New Zealanders, like with a ukulele and a dream and writing some really bad songs to start with. But then it just really became a big passion of mine, and, like, an outlet and a route of escapism during a lot of things. And it's just turned into this wonderful sort of companion to what I feel like is my real life, like my degree. And now I write songs about everything, and it's really wonderful.
You mentioned you were influenced by Bengali music given to you by your father. Are there any other musical influences that help you in your songwriting?
I really love not just Bengali music, but South Asian music as a whole, because there are so many different regions in our part of the world and which have so many different instruments and sounds and rhythms. As well as that, I also actually really love musicals. And so I like making songs theatrical and things like that. So there's a big cinematic sort of influence in my work. And I also am a huge poetry fan. And so I love making lyrics that sound like flowing and beautiful in more than just a song way, but in a poetry way as well.
I was actually about to ask you about poetry as well, because I believe you've also published some works, if I'm correct.
You know? Yeah, I have.
So can you tell me about your journey with poetry as well, and, you know, how that's a part of your artistry?
Yeah, I've got a book out called Spring Clean, which is a poetry collection, and poetry, songwriting, story writing have all sort of, like, crossed paths in my creative journey, and they all influence each other. I published Spring Clean in 2022, but I had actually written it when I was 16 about some experiences I had had, and my best friend illustrated it and made the cover, and it was just a beautiful healing journey, that book, and it's out now, and I'm very proud of it.
So finally, What does the future look like for Sabrine? Is there anything that you've got in the works at the moment?
Countryman was the biggest project I've ever done, and it's been so rewarding to get it out. In the future, I am working on my second body of work. Countryman is a part of that, which I'm very excited for. And I'm hoping to play some more live shows soon and just see where the wind takes me, really.
What does that second body of work look like? Maybe an EP, another single, or a full-length album, possibly?
I would love an album, but I cannot afford one. So it is another EP, but it's very different from my first, and that is all I will say.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.